This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast from Worldwide Wave, the international LGBTI news and current affairs show. Every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
It's Worldwide Wave Time, Joy's international news and current affairs show for the LGBTI community. We take you around the globe one country at a time. Big thank you to JJ for the hits and Richard, as always, for the best in local news. On the Worldwide Wave panel tonight, Alex is here.
Hello, hello.
My name's Matt and we've got a new voice, Stefan. Welcome.
Hello.
Great to have you with us.
Thank you. Great to be here.
He was driven from his home country in Africa by homophobia, which nearly took his life. He created a new life in the UK, met the man of his dreams and got married. He's now a professional speaker and self-described angelic troublemaker. Hmm. Tonight, we're off to Nigeria.
Is Africa at a tipping point on LGBTI rights?
What is his charity doing for rights in Nigeria?
How has his life changed over the past 3.5 years? For his thoughts on global LGBTI rights, plus his intimate knowledge of being gay in Nigeria, tonight we are joined in the studio by Bizzy Alimi, Nigerian LGBTI activist now living in London and founder of the Bizzy Alimi Foundation to Advance LGBTI Rights in Nigeria. Here's what happened the last time Bizzy visited us in 2015.
The TV show you're on, Roses and Thorns, a primetime soap opera, you were having an affair with the housemaid.
Well,
and then you came out as gay.
It's scandalous.
It is very, very, you know. It was. It was a very.
We've done our research.
Yes, you have. Yeah, it was a very interesting soap opera, which was looking at the class system in Nigeria and how you're not allowed to, you know, go outside of your class. My character had this very rich family and I was expected to go abroad to study. And all of a sudden, cut pants down in the housemaid bedroom.
Boa noite. This is David from Brazil, listening to Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Somewhere inside me.
That, of course, was Cher with You Haven't Seen the Last of Me.
And that highlights our theme for tonight, which is visibility, which we're going to learn a little bit more about that with our guest in a minute. Messages, we love hearing from you. We'd love you to send in messages for our guest as well. 0427JOY949 or on air at joy.org.au. A couple of messages off Facebook about our show last week on male body image. It's got a lot of people interested. Dylan asked about the podcast. The podcast is now up. If you missed it, go to joy.org.au/worldwidewave. And you will see or be able to hear the podcast. Indeed. Hoffler said it was a fascinating study. I quite enjoyed it too. So we'll keep you posted on that one. I'd like to welcome to the studio, welcome back, actually, Bizzy Halimi, who is a Nigerian activist. Hello, Bizzy.
Hello. It's really nice to be back.
It's good to have you back. Now, the last time you were here, you teased us because you said to us, you told us off air while a song was playing that actually the reason you were here was because you were about to announce your wedding, your marriage to your husband, Anthony, and we weren't allowed to tell anybody, which was rotten. World exclusive, we weren't allowed to tell anybody. So now please update, because now the reason was because you were going to put it live on social media, then jump on a plane because you're anticipating a raft of negativity on social media.
Yeah.
What happened?
Oh, so we did, and it was quite interesting because just about the time we're about to get on the plane, I posted it on Instagram and I just got on and switched off my phone. And by the time I got back, we got out of the plane, it was everywhere. It was all over the media in the UK and in Nigeria as well. And interestingly, there were quite some very supportive messages from people across Nigeria, people that were seeing really? That as being very inspirational, people that were like, oh my God, I would never thought that this was going to happen. But the usuals, you know, they were there.
They were like,
you're going to burn in hell, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. And I was like, well, you know, someone's got to go to hell, you know.
Got to pull that balance. Some in heaven, some in hell. And you've since had your wedding?
Yes, so we got married in 2016.
Tell us about that.
It was a very beautiful day. I know everyone says that about their wedding, isn't it? That their wedding was very beautiful, unless the divorce followed the next day. But it was a very lovely wedding. We had all our friends all over the world. My in-laws from Australia were there. And, you know, it was a very private thing. We had our family. We rented a country home. And it was from Friday to Sunday. It was just the way, you know, you wanted it, with a bit of glamour, glitz,
perfect day,
sparkles, and all those kind of thing. It was nice. It was really beautiful.
Was your family there?
No.
What did they have an opinion on this?
Yes, they never wanted me to marry a man. Mm-hmm. So it was very interesting because on the morning of the wedding, I sent them a message and just said, I've got my mother-in-law here, I've got my father-in-law here, the sisters are here, and would have been lovely that I have you here, but I do respect that you don't want to be here. I don't intend to do this again, but this is one proud moment of my life you chose to miss, and good luck. And so I think it was quite painful, because if I said, oh, it was not a big deal, then I would be lying to myself. But I remember when I walked into the hall and I saw people that have traveled from China, from Australia, from New York, I found, no, these are my family.
This is right.
Yeah, these are the families that I have now.
Tell us, Nigeria, how do you obviously still keep in contact with what's happening on the ground. Give us a bit of a flavour of where LGBTI rights in Nigeria are up to at the moment. Has there been any progress?
It depends on how we define progress, isn't it? Because I took my husband back to Nigeria last year.
Yeah,
really? We went home in August last year. It was very interesting because we were home and he wanted to go to the beach and he was like, okay, let's go. And we went with some friends and we were just there with some friends. We were playing and while we were going home, my phone went off and actually some people have taken our pictures and have posted it online. That so it was all over the news that I was there and we were celebrating, we were there on holiday. And the next thing we got was a message from one of the national TV stations saying, oh, we heard you're in town, do you want to come in with your husband and do an interview? And I was like, oh, really, girls? Okay. And I just told my husband to say, you know, they wanted us to do this, would you love to do it? And he thought about it and he said, if you want to do it, let's go. And we went on air on TV. And, you know, that, let me put this into perspective, that was 14 years after I came out on national television and I was driven out of the country. I went back with my husband and I was on TV again with my husband, talking about what it means to be a gay couple. And
so it wasn't a combative interview. They weren't out to get you. They just wanted to hear your story.
They were asking quite confrontational questions, rightly so, because it's Nigeria. But it was the fact that 14 years later, I could go back. Now, my story is an exception, like it's always been. It's still very difficult for a lot of LGBT people. People are losing their jobs because of their sexuality. People are being blackmailed. We have the Same-Sex Marriage Prohibition Act in Nigeria. So there are a lot of challenges. But like I said, it depends on what we consider as change and how we want to view it. More and more people are using their voice via social media to come out and to express their sexuality, to be proud of who they are. Something that people were not able to do 14 years ago. So there is that pushback from the community as well to get a voice. But there's also still the pushback from the people that don't want us to have a voice.
Are there people, so after you've done this TV expose, were there people saying you shouldn't be doing that? Don't raise the, yeah, don't agitate people?
Yeah, I must say from the gay LGBT community in Nigeria, a lot of them were really upset. They were upset that I was trying to create an illusion of acceptance that's not real, and that I have a privilege and I have a British passport and that I can pick up my passport and go, and they would pick up whatever it is that I'll be leaving behind. And I think that is true. But also, I strongly believe that there is a boy and there is a girl. There is a boy who loves a boy and there's a girl who loves a girl who needs to know that your love is valid and that you can dream. And it's for them that I did what I did. I did it because I felt that someone needs to hear, but also that the community, the Nigeria, needs to see what it looks like to be in a same-sex relationship. Because to a lot of them, it's like the boogeyman. They've never seen it before. They base their assumption on what they've been told. And that is what, for me, visibility is very key. You know, everything I can do to make people see who I am, it's very important to me.
We're going to cover all that and more and talk a bit more about Africa and your charity as well. We're with Bizzy Alimi from Nigeria. It's World Wide Wave.
This is Tiseke Kasambala from Human Rights Watch South Africa office on the World Wide Wave.
Oh,
That, of course, needs no introduction, but that was Kylie Minogue with In Your Eyes.
Oh, a bit of Kylie. Love it. We are in Nigeria tonight. Our guest is Bisi Alemi, a Nigerian activist, but now living in the UK. Talking broader of Africa, there's been some really good news come out the last few weeks, which is Angola. And Angola has not just decriminalised homosexuality, it was a law that wasn't enacted, but they've got rid of the law, but they've actually criminalised discrimination. They've and even the local activists there were a bit surprised. Is there a sense of, is there a wind of change coming through Africa, do you think?
Well, there's always been that window of change across Africa, you know, long before a lot of people were aware of it. Like Seychelles was as decriminalized same-sex relationship. So was Mozambique. And there was a case of the trans woman in Kenya who sued the Kenya government. She sued a school because she wanted a name, a new name to be reflected in a certificate, and she won. And you know, well, everybody knows about South Africa, so it wasn't, it was quite surprising to hear of Angola, because I think there was a conversation that was going on about it, but people were not really sure what was going to come out. And like you rightly said, so it was very much about, oh, we knew that decriminalization was going to happen, but nobody saw the fact that Angola would actually be criminalizing hate. And for me, that was huge. We were all waiting last Friday to hear what was going to happen in Kenya.
Yes.
And it was quite disappointing that that was adjourned till, I think, till next month or so.
May.
So it's a little bit disappointing. But at the same time, it just shows that we're now having that confidence to take these cases to court, and we're winning. And even when we don't take them to court, our politicians are seeing reasons why we should be having very honest conversation about protecting the dignity of everyone.
Indeed, sometimes it's actually easier to get a more reasoned response by going through the courts than through the politicians who are, you know, election coming, therefore they find that, you know, somebody to hate, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, but it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? Because if you get it by the law, the question is enforced. The people don't want it. So you're forcing it on them. Case study, South Africa. But if you get it by constitution or by political pronouncement, which means that you have to put it on your manifesto, you have to defend it during election campaigning, which means there's a process of citizen engagement. And that's something that I'm very particular about. I love the concept of citizen engagement, that when the rights comes, like you have it in Australia, the people wanted it. And, you know, it happened in Ireland. The people wanted it. You will see the rate of hate crime in such settings going down compared to South Africa, where it was forced on the people. So there's no sense of ownership. And so the hate crime in South Africa outweighs that of Nigeria, that actually has a law that criminalizes same-sex relationship, because the people never ask for it.
Ghana, you mentioned, is like, sounds like gay utopia in Africa.
Yeah, it's the West African gay utopia. You know, that's where everyone goes to.
Why?
No, Ghana is a very beautiful country. Oh my God, Nigerians will hate me for this. and can I just do a disclaimer? I have not been paid by Ghana to do this announcement. But honestly, Ghana is a very beautiful country, and because it's quite chilled about sexual orientation and gender identity, and you know, their current president used to live in the UK, and he's very, it's tilting towards liberalisation in a way.
It's like quite worldly.
Yeah, so a lot of Nigerians are now, that can't get out of Africa or of West Africa, moving to Ghana to start a life.
There's quite a big flow back, isn't there, to Ghana, I've heard from Ghanaians that migrated to the UK and the US, and now flowing young generation that's flowing back with obviously the ideas that they've grown up with.
And also the Ghana now has a policy of return for African Americans. So a lot of African Americans are now returning, who wants to return to Africa are returning back to Ghana because it's very accepting. So that also comes with a different kind of culture and everything. So Ghana is, it's the next place to actually watch out for after Kenya.
Wow, you will have trouble with Nigerians now.
Yeah.
It's like an Australian defending New Zealand. But we do that. I do that.
We do. Yeah. What about HIV in Africa? It has been a long, hard battle. Are there any improvements? Is there a possibility of PrEP coming involved? Is treatment access still a problem?
Yeah, actually, there's PrEP. So if you're a gay man, you can actually access PrEP in Nigeria, though not part of the national policy. But, you know, thanks to programs
through
like
international programs.
Yeah, you know, like PEPFAR and, you know, the Australian program in Nigeria. So Australia has a very powerful presence in Nigeria.
Really?
In the person of the Australian High Commission, His Honourable Paul Lehman. I'm just giving him a shout out, you know.
Yeah.
it's a fantastic person. Has done a lot of work on gender issues, on a lot of work on developmental issues there as well. So there are all of those things that are coming in into the country. But at the national level, it's not. One of the biggest problems we have when it comes to HIV is maternal problems. So there are increasing number of women who are contracting HIV and are passing it on to their kids. And a lot of time, because of the poor healthcare, people don't know until the time that they get into the clinic. And sometimes it's quite late to do anything about that. So Nigeria has a high rate of children that are born with HIV. But aside from that, the awareness of it is on the increase. And people are talking about sex education as well. They're talking about, you know, HIV prevention. And so, yeah, in that area, there is that citizen ownership and engagement of their own health and their sexual health as well.
You touched before on same-sex marriage, and it is quite often used as a wedge to stop other rights. So opponents of anything gay, oh, we can't give them, you know, decriminalisation because it will lead to same-sex marriage. Is that still a predominant force?
Oh yes, it is, and you're correct. It's the argument that has been used to, and it's also very interesting because that argument is now being used to fight against feminism, because across the continent of Africa, the idea that if you allow these homosexuals to have their right, the next thing is that the women will not want to cook dinner for you anymore. So it's very
well,
much
that's a leap.
Well, because you know women are so reduced to cooking that. That's all they're good for, and making babies. So it's seen from that angle that if you give rights to these people, it becomes the height of eye-opening that we make other people crawl out of their caves and want to demand. And if you think that's hideous, they say, oh, if you give gay people their right now, what are you going to do about bestiality? So should we allow this to happen? Should we allow? And I said, you know, it's very much about consent. It's very much about two consenting adults having a worthwhile relationship that they both appreciate and does no harm to the society. Yeah, so that has always been an issue. And you know that it's just something that they're using, and you can always break that down.
Is that the same as the old one you hear in Africa that's a Western import?
Oh, that's fading away now. That's fading away because, again, because more and more people are coming out and they're increasingly researched. Just yesterday, an organization in the UK called Open for Business just released a report on the economic case of criminalization in Kenya. And it shows that Kenya is losing 1.7% of its GDP to criminalization of homosexuality. So that you wouldn't call that, you know, a Western import. No. You have to face it head on and say, okay, what do we do? And when people say, but how do you know that we're talking about the mental health issues, we're talking about HIV issues, we're talking about homelessness, we're talking about all of these things that states has got to put money into to rescue the citizens that they've put through the pain in the first place. And so it's about knowing that we all will benefit from this thing if we do it right. So the Western import is dying away because increasingly we're having data and statistics to prove that that's not correct.
Yeah, oh God. Yeah, I mean, it was always a very...
At the same time, though, you mentioned that the High Commission in Nigeria is helping to facilitate some, you know, events or activities or positive changes in terms of sexuality, which is something that the Obama administration did very proactively. We've now got Trump who's not doing that. Have you sort of, does that make a difference if America's not being as prominent in LGBT rights around the world?
I think we overestimate the influence of America.
Okay.
I'm honestly trying not to sound anti-America at the moment. But I think we, because of the way that we assume that they are, which in the real sense of it, they are not. I think that we overemphasize the power that they have. You know, because we have countries like Sweden, like Denmark, like Switzerland, that are actually doing much more in terms of investments when it's come to LGBT rights across Africa than the US is doing. So a lot of time is US just blow hot air, basically. And we have to be very honest about that. And I'm sure they will never fund me again. But the point is that, you know, we have a country like Australia that is completely far from Nigeria, that when you look at in terms of interest, you're kind of like, okay, what interests Australia in the activities of Nigeria? What interests Nigeria in the activities of Australia? And building that kind of relationship in the area of human rights. And for me, that means so much than countries that are doing it because they felt like, oh, we've got nothing to do, let's just go do it. Countries that are doing it because they feel that it's important, and that for me is what matters.
We're going to hear more about the work that you're doing to change LGBT rights in Nigeria. We're with Bizzy Alimi. You're on Worldwide Wave.
This is Dede Utomo from Kaya Nusantara in Surabaya, Indonesia, speaking on Worldwide Wave.
In love, you don't think of the devil who's inside. And maybe it'll come one day when you'll feel safe and I won't have to tie. You'll hear what you wanna hear, make one second disappear. Some rules to the game will make it right for both of us. You want.
That was Celine Dion with Eyes on Me.
It's a Celine Dion song that's actually not too bad.
Sorry, are you allowed to say that?
I don't know. I'm sure somebody will message in and let me know if I'm wrong. 0427 Joy 949 or on air at joy.org.au. Busy Alimi from Nigeria / UK is our guest. You have set up a foundation, the Busy Alimi Foundation. Tell us what it does and why you decided to set it up.
Yeah, well, you know, we set it up in 2015, and the whole idea for me was very much about I wanted to, if I want to go back home, I want to go back to a home that will be welcoming. And for me to make home a place that is welcoming, a place that is worth going back to, I have to work hard to make it like that. So that's one of the reasons why, you know, we started the BC Alimi Foundation with a group of friends. And the whole idea for us is just to accelerate social acceptance of LGBT people.
How do you do that from the UK, though?
Well, so we have our staff on the ground in Nigeria.
Right.
So I just do the running around. Everybody just...
You're just the pretty face.
Yeah, I'm just... Yeah. If that will go. Yeah, so... And we have... 4 key areas of the work that we do, and one of them is we have a fellowship program that is focused on training journalists and lawyers on understanding LGBT issues. So journalists will be trained to understand the harm that they do when they report on LGBT issues with very strong and abusive languages.
So trying to be balanced, it's trying to make them positive, it's just trying to be
Report
down the line.
Yeah, and for lawyers, we're trying to keep their vocabularies, the legal vocabularies when it's come to LGBT issues, you know, give them legal international instruments on LGBT issues, a lot of things that they don't have access to or they're not interested in until they've come for our training. Now, we're also engaging with businesses because we know that the new wave of change that will come to Africa, which possibly will come via businesses, because you know Africa has the largest population of young people, so there's that interest from the business community to tap into that. There are a lot of startups that are happening across the continent, and if we have a forward-thinking business that has rights at the core of its capitalism, that in a way will mean that even as they do whatever they want to do, they also respect the fundamental rights of people and become champions or advocate for that. That will go a long way. And when they sit with our politicians who need them to create job, they will be able to say, you know, job is good, but job is no job if it is not situated within human rights. And so that is one of the things that we do research as well. And because I strongly believe that data is important, our research are through storytelling. We collect this data, but we tell a story behind them. And those have been quite powerful in the work that we do. And we run campaigns too.
in your spare time, you're also a professional public speaker going around. And if I can, reading your website, the angelic troublemaker. Tell us what that means.
Oh, so that was inspired by Bayard Rustin. I don't know whether you've heard of Bayard Rustin before. No. Okay, so I always say this because everybody knows I have a milk. But nobody knows Bayard Rustin. So Bayard Rustin is the right hand, or was the right hand man of Martin Luther King. And he organized the March on Washington for Jobs and Housing, the biggest civil rights march in the history of America in 1958 and 59, I think it was. And he was an openly black gay man in Jim Crow America. He was living very openly, and he was such a great force. So he was the one that introduced Martin Luther King to Mahatma Gandhi. So he's such a very influential person. He was also the one that brokered the peace between Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. He's so powerful, and he's an iconic gay man. But he said this thing. He said, we need in every bay and community a group of angelic troublemakers. So I realized,
you are happy to take
it. I'm happy to take it. And so I started a tour called The Angelic Troublemakers, which just share my story of how my life kind of got in contact with this man, how the work that he has done, even without me knowing, as a gay man, young gay man from Nigeria. I'd never heard of this man before, but I was living his truth even without meeting him. And when I came in contact with him, it put my life, everything I've been doing, into perspective. It gave them a meaning. And so that's what I do. And that's why I'm here. I'm attending the Fundraising Institute of Australia annual conference, where I'll be giving the closing keynote speech on Friday, and also speaking at the La Trobe University tomorrow on advancing global LGBT rights in the 21st century.
And we've just posted those on our Facebook page, so you can find the details. People are loving it. Thanks, Jamie from Moorabbin. Great show. Very interesting. And it has been very interesting. Congratulations on your wedding, and love to your husband. And thank you, Busy Alimi, for joining us here on Worldwide Wave.
Thank you so much for having me.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like Worldwide Wave on Facebook now.
Listen up, footy fans. Kicks Talking Footy and the AFLW Western Bulldogs are giving you the chance to win an exclusive, one-of-a-kind Pride Guernsey, signed by the entire Western Bulldogs women's team. To win, simply enter the online Pride Match raffle. The more tickets you buy, the more chances you have to win. The winner will be drawn during the Pride Match on March 17 at Witten Oval. Tickets are selling fast. Get yours from joy.org.au. And don't miss Kicks Talking Footy every Wednesday at 7. Joy sponsor.
Hi, this is Effie from Pewa, Kenya. We are supporting gender and sexual minorities in Africa on the World Wide Web.
It's been fantastic having Busy Alimi back with us again, LGBT activist from Nigeria, now in the UK. You can find out more about the work of his foundation at busyalimifoundation.org. We've just posted that one on the Facebook page as well. And the talk that Busy mentioned is La Trobe University's City Campus at 1 p.m. tomorrow. It's absolutely free. You'd be crazy to miss it. Details? Go to W3Joy on Facebook. Like it and follow all the stories throughout the week.
Book my tickets to Ghana.
Yeah. Big thank you to all of our followers on Facebook. A few comments and shares in the last week. Rachel, Dylan, Phil, Richard, Josh, and Alex for podcasting.
You're welcome.
Dean, social media man. Stefan, for joining us and panelling for us tonight.
Thank you.
You survived the show?
I think so, yes.
One Hot Wonder is coming up next with Grace. Always does a great show every week. And then Triple Bypass, one of our favourite shows, and Local Roots and Been There, Done That. Taking you right through all night. There's nowhere else to be than on Joy. And some joyful music to take us out, shall we? Let's have some Euphoria from Loreen in the spirit of Eurovision for Paul, who's not with us tonight. We'll catch you next week on Worldwide Wave.
Why can't this moment last forever more? Tonight, tonight.
Thanks for listening to another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe, one country at a time. Worldwide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 Eastern Australia time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne or online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3 Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.